Hi everybody, this is Gideon Shalwick, and with me I've got Ed Dale, and he's actually driving in his car at the moment. He's such a busy man. He doesn't have time to talk on a normal Skype conversation, so he's in the car on his mobile phone, and I'm going to ask him a few questions about the iPad. It's just been released in the United States. We're doing this interview in Australia, and of course it's not over here yet, but I wanted to pick his brain a bit and just find out, you know, what's so cool about the iPad, because I don't have one and he's got one. And so this is really exciting. So welcome to the call, Ed.
No worries, and thanks very much, mate. I appreciate it. At least I'm in the Prius, which means it's very quiet. The electric engine takes care of things. So thanks for that. But yeah, I thought the iPad was so important that as a combination of, I suppose, my business, and it was also my 40th birthday, that I decided it was a cool thing to do, was to actually fly to Los Angeles, pick up my iPads in LA and fly back that same day.
That's crazy, because I was following you on Twitter and stuff, and on YouTube, okay, and things, and watching your stuff, and I was thinking, this guy's crazy. He's only flying over there for one day to pick up the iPad. You must really like it.
Well, look, it's what it represents. You know, and every day there's a new application and something which just points to the future of how important this is. And I wouldn't have done it for any normal Apple release, as much as I love Apple or love new tech. There was a very special reason that because this iPad really is people will look back at their first iPad, and it'll be the same feeling they had when they had Windows 95 with a mouse, or they had, you know, the first Macintosh computer. It's that important. It is a new era of computing.
Okay.
A little slate which sort of disappears and becomes whatever you want it to be.
Okay, so it's obviously a game changer, but you know, obviously I haven't played with it. I've only read about it and watched videos about it. Why do you think it's a game changer for us?
Well, I think the main reason is that it gets out of the way. It's the first, like, the iPhone operating system is brilliant, but I suppose often people don't think about it that deeply, and it's a good reason for that. The reason we don't think about it deeply is because Joe and Jane Smith don't want to care about an operating system. They don't want to care about the machine. They just want to make the phone call. They just want to get that website. They just want to get their email. They don't even want to think about an operating system. And the iPhone's been amazing. It's this little computer in your hand, which is small and portable, as it should be, but it doesn't crash. You know, it very rarely stops. It's extremely, extremely solid. So it's a huge step forward, and, you know, you can't argue with the fact that 70 million of the things have been sold. Just put that into context. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has sold 70 million of anything in any sort of computing device ever. Not even close. But all the Xboxes, all the Wii's, all the PlayStations, all the Nintendos, add in all of those combined, haven't even come close to these sales. So they were onto something with this operating system, because it was so new and it was so incredible. So when the iPad was announced, all of a sudden, you know, people just said, oh, it's just a big iPod Touch, or it's a, you know, the big iPhone. And yes, in some ways that's good, and I don't know why that should be a negative, because the applications that are there, but then to then make the, you know, the assumption that, oh, well, you're just going to be more of the same, well, they couldn't be more wrong. Yeah, because this is a notebook. It's certainly a netbook killer. Like anybody given the choice, and of course, because Apple released it at a price which was so accessible, if you're comparing a $499 netbook compared to the iPad, like, it's just no contest. I mean, the iPad works so much better. And this is a lot of the magic of the iPad, if you will. It's very hard to describe, in the sense that once you have it and once you've actually got it in your hands, you realize just how extraordinary it is, because the speed of it, you know, it is so fast. It's the best way to surf the internet, you know, and people can't believe that, but once you've surfed on the internet on an iPad, you'll find it very, very hard to go back to a computer and use a mouse to point and click. It just seems so clunky compared to the way you can do it on this thing. But the real game changer, I suppose, was the fact that, you know, you have this device which gets out of the way but does email better for your average civilian. Again, I'm not talking about geeks. I'm not talking about road warriors. I'm talking about your average person. It does email so much better. It does web surfing so much better. Applications are astounding. The games on it are just breathtaking in how good they are. That this is where you can start to get, you know, this is the computer for the rest of us. It's not the computer. It's if you're a geek, go and upload your free Linux kernels and, you know, play around and hack with your computer. This is for people who don't want to know about the computer. They want the device to disappear. And I've seen so many reviews, and it's so true, that you forget you're using an iPad after a while because it's not about the iPad. It's about you're reading a book, you're surfing the web, you're answering email, you're doing a Pages application, you're playing a game. It's whatever that is meant to be.
So it turns into basically the whatever the application is that you're working on. As you say, the iPad moves out of the way for the application.
It's funny because when you look at it, it's a piece of glass and a very solid feeling aluminium back, and that's it. And there's one button on it. That's it. And so its function comes from whatever application you tend to be running at the time. And then of course you add all that together, and you've got the incredible usability, the incredible, you know, what major piece of electronics has launched completely new sector that's had 3,000 applications designed specifically for it day one? It's never happened. About the Xbox 360. Think about the Wii. Think about, you know, all the PlayStation. If they had half a dozen launch titles on day one, they'd be lucky. You know, and this is the thing. You know, in terms of consumer electronics, let me give you another number. They sold 300,000 on day one. And people think, 300,000? Well, do the numbers on that. It's the biggest successful hardware launch of all time, full stop. And, in fact, it's the biggest launch of all time, full stop, of anything in 24 hours, except for the game Modern Warfare 2. That's the only thing in the history of mankind. Wow. Nothing has sold more than the iPad on its first day. This is why people have to realize that this is not some, you know, this is not fanboy talking. This is not some Apple crazy person talking. This is a genuine, like, this is a real change. And the best way that I've seen it over this past week of having it home here in Australia is giving it to people. My 67-year-old father-in-law, who was about to buy a Dell laptop to replace his 3-year-old PC, which he had a real love-hate relationship with because he really struggled to get it to do anything. I just handed over the iPad at the Backsmash Golf Club, and I said, you try it. You see if you can do email. You see if you can surf. And he was in love with it. And he said, I'm canceling my Dell order, and I'm getting one of these.
Brilliant.
Because I can take it around everything. And I haven't even mentioned yet, 12 hours of battery life. Typically, when a manufacturer says the thing will do 10 hours of battery life, you sort of go, pardon me, you go, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, and halve it, basically. Yeah, that's what it's been like for time immemorial in the information technology industry. Well, they said 10 hours, I'm getting 12.
That's awesome.
And that changes the nature of the device as well. You don't think about charging it. You don't think about, oh, I've got to have all my cables. Yeah. And that makes such a big difference to the whole thing, Gideon.
So what you're saying here is that, okay, it's maybe not the best device for the techie guys, but what we're seeing here is a massive uptake in the mainstream of this device, and people are just going nuts for it. So with these huge numbers of people adopting this new technology, how do you see this changing the game for internet marketers and bloggers? And, you know, what are the opportunities that you see for internet marketers and bloggers for the iPad in particular?
Yeah. Well, look, it's funny, you know, people overestimate what's going to happen in 6 months and dramatically underestimate what's going to happen in 2 years. And I think the thing to understand here, Gideon, is that what impact it's going to have for people's sales and for information marketing type products, niches and so on. Maybe not that much in 6 months. But let's take a 2-year view of this. There is no question in my mind, and there's a few various articles and so on which back this up, but I'm absolutely convinced of it, that way more people are going to be accessing the internet via a mobile device than are sitting in front of a computer and accessing it that way. There is no question in my mind that that's going to be the case. So if we go to the granddaddy of all marketers, our godfather, so to speak, Gary Halbert, what was his number one tenet in marketing? It's to go where the starving crowd is. Okay, you have to be where the crowd is. You can't expect the crowd to come to you. You have to go to where the crowd is. And in my mind, there is no question that people are using their devices, their mobile devices, their iPhones, their Android phones, the iPad, and I'm sure we'll see Android tablets and the equivalent. More people will be accessing the internet and going online using these devices than any other thing, desktops, etc. There's just no question of that in 2 years. Mm. So what's that mean? I think that people need to start thinking about how do they deliver their information, the view to location, like is there a location, because all these devices are location aware. Can I build an app for that? Can I deliver my content via an app? Because as marketers, we value our client base. We value our customers above all else. Our relationship and our information on our customers are our gold. Our email list is our gold. Now, you've got to be a bit careful because you can give up the direct relationship with the customer because of all of these app stores, like the Apple App Store and so on. Apple has all the information on the customer. You, unless you think carefully through this, have no information about the customer.
Very good point.
You're ceding control of your customer base to Apple. Now, I love Apple, love them dearly, but I want to know and I want to be able to communicate to my customer base because that is the gold upon which any business is created. So you have to think about, if you're doing an app, you don't have a choice about selling the app through the store. And honestly, who would want a choice? For goodness sake, 70-30 split. We in the internet world are used to dealing with 50-50 splits. So I begrudge nothing to Apple in terms of that, the 30%. It's better than what typically we're not paying for a customer, I'm paying 50-50. Mm. So, from that point of view, love it. But what we need to think about, Gideon, is how do we build into our apps bluntly forcing people to make sure we get their information, their details, their emails, their information, so we have a direct relationship with the customer base. That, to me, is a very, 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 very important question.
So while you're on that topic, how would an app like that look? Would it be something that people purchase, obviously for a, say, a very cheap price, or it's maybe even free, and maybe as part of the app, if they want to get access to, a larger part of the app, do they need to, opt in for it? Or can you even do that in an app? Is that just something you build into the application?
You services. You add services on, which means that you want to give people a really good reason to give you your email address. And I saw a great example of it with this great game on the iPad called Charadium. It's like Pictionary, if you're familiar with Pictionary.
Yes, yep.
It's extraordinary. It gives you an instant Pictionary game. Of course, the iPad, with the form factor that it has the ability to for you to be able to draw with your fingers. So you play these global Pictionary games. But to get your rankings and stats and everything, you need to provide them with your email address. So it's permission-based. Okay. You're building your email address that way. You're building your email connectivity into the app. And, there's a huge opportunity for people, and I noticed, a lot of us have this huge store of e-books that we've sold over the years. Mm. Right now I'm getting all of my e-books converted over to the EPUB format, which is an open format, which will be able to be sold through the iBook store. And it's nice. A very good deal there. It's a 70-30 deal. You know, Amazon with the Kindle was charging 30-70. In other words, you as the author get 30 and Kindle gets 70. So, you know, it's they've changed that now, of course, with the competition. And this is great. The competition's there, but people will start to get, they want to have instant gratification, instant access to material. And they've shown in extraordinary numbers, in billions of apps downloaded, that they want to make these sorts of purchases. So how do you, as an internet marketer, you know, we love the big course, right, the $1,500 course. We love selling the $2,000 big bang product.
Mm.
Well, maybe, just maybe, we need to start thinking about little bite-sized courses. You know, download this video on how to do X for 99 cents.
Nice. And would that be done through an app as well, like the video thing, or is there...
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. You can download video, you can stream it. We're working on a system for our own stuff at the moment, so not only are you able to download it to your mobile device, but then there's an archive kept for you, so you can grab it offline as well. So you can grab the video and save it on your computer, for example.
Awesome.
You know, that sort of thing. So these are the sort of things that we're looking to do. It's very, very early days, but it's very exciting because there's this, you know, again, let me give you this incredible stat. Apple has 100 details on 180 million people and their credit cards.
Nice.
Yeah, these are people with disposable income by definition.
Mm.
They're the types of people that we want to market to.
They're ready to buy.
And here's the thing, you know, the other thing, most software developers, traditional software developers, they are there, and they think Apple should do all the work, like that they should feature their app on the App Store, and that will bring them big traffic. And there's no question, if you were ever featured app on the App Store, you've just had your year made. You know, you will make an incredible amount of money.
Nice.
But you can't, last count, 180,000 applications and growing every single day. You know, you don't want... You know, you've got a 1 in 180,000 chance of being featured on the homepage at Apple.
Mm.
I don't like those odds. So as marketers, we still have to be very cognizant about building our tribe, building our list, using every technique in the book to, you know, to do great content in our chosen market, you know, become a leader in our chosen market so people want to hear from us. And then we've already got a market there ready to market to buy our apps. And then trigger on, you know, I love the idea of a viral campaign, but I don't like a viral campaign by chance.
Mm.
It's always lovely when you have something go viral like
that. Sure.
But your chances of something going viral are incredibly increased if you've got a nice big database for people to market to first,
to get them
to download your product first. So, you know, we can't throw out everything that we've learned. In fact, we can really power it forward.
Cool.
Then I suppose the other side of things, Gideon, feel free to jump in because I could talk about this all day.
I was going to ask you how to actually develop an app, but maybe you can do that after what you're going to say now.
Well, the developing the app, and this is a very interesting thing for people, and I'll make some comment on it. Unless you're obviously a C-class coder. And a good graphic designer, developing an app is probably outside of your skill set. And I think good that it is, because it's far more important to be a skillful marketer and understand what your market wants than actually getting your hands dirty building the app.
Right.
As long as you know what's good, and the most important part is creating your app on paper. What's the experience that people want to do? Literally draw it out. In fact, there are some awesome apps on the iPad that'll do this for you. OmniGraffle is one, a $30 app, which just is insanely good, lets you map out the whole process. And then, now, what is it called? Is it called iMockup? Where it lets you literally, even if you haven't got an artistic bone in your body, literally mock up how your program would work just by dragging.
Oh, nice.
This is where the finger-touch interface is so cool. Right, so as long as you know what your market would want, you just create it, and you let the coders worry about the coding. You let the designers make it look pretty. Don't worry about it, and you shouldn't spend a huge amount of money on it either.
Okay, so your focus as an internet marketer or blogger is to is to think about, you know, the usability of your application. Exactly. Don't worry about the technical stuff. Make sure it's easy to use, and flick it off to your programmer and get him to get it done for you.
Absolutely. And if I can recommend a book, too, actually, 37 Signals, extraordinarily innovative company. They just released a book, and of course it's available on your iPad or on your Kindle, or you can download audio. You can get it pretty much any way you like. It's called Rework, R-E-W-O-R-K. And I would heartily recommend everybody who's listening to this should read that book. It is absolutely awesome.
Awesome.
And it actually was, that book came from another book which they wrote, which was targeted to software developers and people who create software.
Okay.
Which is called Getting Real, which is available via PDF for free.
Okay.
And I'd recommend reading Rework first, because they actually then made it more generic for anybody to read and have a look at. So that's an incredible book on this subject. But don't get caught. I wouldn't, like, unless it really, like, really floats your boat, I would not start learning how to program iPhone apps.
No, I agree with you. I think as a marketer, certainly you want to flick that off to a technical person that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Look, every you know, wet behind the ears 18-year-old IT student at your local university, I guarantee you right now, is learning how to code for the iPhone and would happily work for food, you know, and a good designer at the design school, you know, because you should make your apps look beautiful. You should make them work really well. But you should also keep them simple, just get the job done. So, and you can do that because you know what your market wants.
Cool. Ed, I'm just noticing the time is ticking along. I've got a few more questions, and I've also got some questions from some fans that I want to ask you too. First question is, the next question at least is, you know, we've talked about all the cool stuff about the iPad. Obviously, when new products get introduced into the market, there are always bugs and issues and stuff with the first revisions. What do you see are the current issues with the iPad, and how do you see them getting fixed in the future?
Yep. The biggest one for me, the biggest negative without a shadow of a doubt, is the way you have to get files on and off the device, and most particularly on the device in the first place. That, to me, at the moment, is a bit clunky. You know, you basically, the best way really is to email it to yourself. Now, the good news is, of course, there are solutions. And what I did in preparation for the iPad is that I made sure all my business data and email and everything is now in the cloud. I use Google services, I use Dropbox,
nice.
I use MobileMe. And I did that quite deliberately because I realized that people's work habits are going to change and give you incredible more flexibility. You know, I didn't actually bring my iPad here now, but like I'm waiting to pick up my daughter here in kindergarten, and you know, I could literally jump online and check out the latest document that I've been doing, or check out what a client's been, you know, up to, because everything is cloud-based, and it makes it very easy to incorporate other departments and other systems. Having said that, the biggest negative is definitely, for me, is the file management system. As I say, like getting a PDF on and off. Now, there are solutions coming, but it's a little bit of a pain. It's not a deal breaker by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not as beautiful as it potentially could be. The second thing is a lot of the iPad apps were developed without the benefit of having an iPad. So you can't blame the developers for this.
Okay.
But something that was hugely important is, They made a big deal of this in the announcement, but everybody's going, yeah, no big deal, is the orientation, the fact that there is no up, there is no down, there is no side on the iPad. And you think, big deal. It's actually a huge deal when you're using it. It is a massive deal. And a lot of applications were pretty much designed with one, like either landscape or portrait as their focus, and you can't do that on the iPad. Because people will turn it around any which way they want to.
You have to
design your applications to be as fully functional in portrait or landscape, or give them very deliberate jobs for each based on that.
Because I suppose when you look at the iPad, it's not like you know where is top in any case, right? You've got a sort of...
No, and honestly, after, as I say, you lose yourself in your iPad, and I'll go to press the home button, and I press glass, because I've realized I've got it up a particular way. And great funny story, you know, somebody was complaining that the, you know, why is the headphone jack on the top and not somewhere else. And I'm thinking, well, just turn it around. It's on the top. It's on the bottom now, if that's what you want. Okay. And that's literally how it works. So yeah. They're the two things for me.
Okay. Ed, we've got a few questions. We've got about 10 minutes or less, a little bit less than that, before you've got to shoot off. I've got a few questions from some keen fans that I'll just run through, and we can just rip through them and so they can
quick fire.
All right. So first one is from Juho Tankelo from Finland through Twitter. He's saying, ask Ed where the iPad's pot of gold is. With the iPhone, it was the apps. Is it now time for books or other content?
I think the apps are probably still the pot of gold in the iPad, but definitely there's huge opportunities for people with regards to like e-books, and there's a whole market, there's a way to market your e-books for these impulse buyers. So you're making, so the distribution method to sell your e-books is so much easier than what's been available. They're the two. If there are two pots of gold, there it. Apps still are king, make no doubt. But the ability to sell books as well is right there.
Awesome. Next question from Twitter again is from Ez Zadden. He's saying, iPad gets all the hype, probably good marketing, but shouldn't we target other weblets as well? Juju, Slate, iTablet, etc.
Well, none of those other things that they've just described exist. Oh, the Juju does, and it sucks. I'm going to be rude there. They've made about 90 of them. Mm. You should be thinking about tablet computing, not talking about a specific device. But when the market is so big, 70 million iPhones, when you add iPod touches, we're talking about a user base of 100 million.
That's incredible, yeah.
That is a huge user base in anybody's language. Mm. So, they've got to be looked at. But I've got to say, I truly think the iPad, if you talk about an installed user base at the low end of 5 million, 12 months, and I think it's going to be way more than that personally, but let's be conservative, 5 million in 12 months, you are talking about a major new device here. Mm. And my client base, ask yourself, where are your demographics? My demographics are baby boomers. The people who buy my products are baby boomers. Mm. This is going to be the baby boomer computer, make no mistake. Mm.
Very good point. All right, next question from Tyrone Shum, also through Twitter. He says, please ask Ed, how can we use and leverage the iPod to increase traffic and subscribers to our blog?
Interesting one. I suppose make it friendly, but that's really short-changing. I actually think it's really I see the iPad and the iPhone as output in your system. In other words, there are places where your content is viewed. It's places where, and people use, they will interact with them just like they're interacting with the web. So for me, the market leadership and the things you need to do to build your tribe aren't impacted per se by the iPad, except if you come up with some sort of viral app or something that is really cool, which lots of people do, and build your market that way, then yes, I would say that that's a way to build your market. I've got to say, I'm more looking at the point of view of building my market leadership through what I do online and writing books and, the traditional ways of building market leadership in your particular niche. And then the iPad is a delivery mechanism for that. It's another, very important, I think, in the long run, device to start to build that content. So does that make sort of sense? That it's not really, unless you've got an app, I don't see it as being on itself, because it runs the internet. It's just like your computer runs. It's the web, right? Mm. So everything still applies.
Good. It's more a consuming device than a...
Yeah, I think it's going to change. I think we're going to see people creating some really funky content with it. Mm. But it's definitely, if you talked about split, 90% of people, 95% of people are going to use it to consume information.
Mm. Okay. Which is good to know as a, I guess, a content creator or publisher.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Okay, next question from Steinar Knutsen, or Steinar Knutsen. He's saying, ask Ed in what situations he prefers iPad over MacBook or iPhone for content creation on the go.
Let's put it use case scenarios, I think is the best way to describe this. I think, I've got a big conference coming up in the United States in May. And I'm talking a lot there. I'm running the conference. Typically, that would be a classic use case where I'd be bringing along my, what seems now, incredibly heavy MacBook. It's funny. It wasn't heavy 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now it's a monstrosity. I won't be bringing a laptop. I see no need to bring the laptop.
Awesome.
Because everything that I can do, and Keynote, which is, of course, and this is why Apple, of course, spent so much time making sure Keynote worked, that, to me, is going to be a core, core thing for me. So, where there are times where I really needed access to a Mac while I'm traveling or a day trip or going on holidays, for example, I won't bring the laptop anymore. I'll be bringing the iPad. Keep in mind, it's a sitting down device, just like I said to you. Like, I've had to rush out and go pick up my daughter at kindergarten. I wouldn't bring my iPad for that. You'd look like an idiot. It's much bigger than a phone. You look like a total tool.
You can't put it in your back pocket.
A standing up device. That's why I laugh at people saying, I can't believe they didn't put a camera in.
Yep.
How terrible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Just too big for it.
Rubbish. It's too big. It would kill your arms trying to take a photo with this thing.
And I can't imagine people walking around with it.
No. Once they use it, they'll realize, that was stupid. Of course you don't want a camera with this thing. It just doesn't make any sense. It is a sitting down computer or a lounging around computer. So if I'm at a coffee shop, if I'm at anywhere where I'm casually computing, that is where, in bed, that's where it's fantastic, in the lounge room. That's where I'd be using it. Because I'm not lacking for anything. There's no, and I can type on it as fast as I can type on my computer. In fact, probably a bit faster, but that's because I'm not a touch typist.
Great.
If I was a touch typist, this would slow me down.
Once again, ideal for the baby boomers, I suppose.
Perfect, because they're all hunky peckers.
Okay. Ed, there's a couple more fun questions, and then we'll finish it up. This one from Edge Girl. Also through Twitter, is it true that emails sent from the iPad are more shiny and attractive?
No question about it. Definitely open rate increase on any email sent from an iPad.
Awesome. And then final one from Chris Duran through Facebook. Does it blend?
Oh, see, that's just evil. I will not watch that video, or I won't watch the video of the person who bought one and then took a ball back to it. That is sacrilege.
I've watched it, and I do not recommend you watch it. It is very painful, especially as a Mac fanboy. You'd be hurt. Great stuff, Ed. Thank you so much.
Mate. Well, thank you very much.
Sounds like you're at the school.
Probably screaming kids. I was going to say, probably the screaming kids in the background. So.
Good timings. Thank you so much for the call, and I hope everyone finds this really, really useful, as I did.
No worries, and let me know when it's all up, and I'll make sure I tweet it all out.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ed. All the best.
All right, mate. Take care.
Bye.